Are you looking for a practice coach? If you are, go to ptpracticesuccess.com. At the very top of the page, there's a button. Just click on that to find out more.
What we're going to talk about is I call the hairdressers of healthcare. I'm going to get into that in just a moment, into why I call physical therapists the hairdressers of healthcare. If you don't know me, my name is Sean Kirk. I'm a physical therapist. I keep my license alive, but you want me to treat you, because I haven't practiced in years, except my wife, who's also a PT. I'll work on her once in a while. What I would tell you is that I've helped thousands of practice owners become more successful in the business side of their healthcare business. I'm never going to tell you how to treat a patient, but I will tell you how to become more profitable in the process of building your business. What I do is take up different segments of things that I think can help a practice from experience and from being in over 300 different private practices over the years. We're talking about here how to grow a business. So if we look at like what is the real situation that we're dealing with in practice, there's many things, but one is how do we get patients? So marketing is very expensive. It's hard to find people. You're always looking for people, meet patients to come into your practice. There's a lot of marketing noise out there. Everybody and his brother is trying to get people into their practice in your area. And so the would-be patients who are seeing those ads and your ads, they homogenize after a while and you don't know who's asking for whom. It's hard to stand out. So what do? You throw more money at, you know, Mark Zuckerberg's retirement program, which I think he's doing quite well, and hope that we hit the money. Now, nothing wrong with it because we do have to do that, but that's a bit of a situation that we're dealing with. Everyone's competing for a shrinking healthcare dollar. We're getting paid less per visit. Everybody wants to go like, how do we get these kind of patients? Like, you think you're the first guy that had that thought? These high paying patients, you know, so quantity over quality sometimes is what we have to deal with when we're trying to grow our practice. We have various complications that we have in handling this situation when it comes to marketing. So we outsource our social media ads, Google, Facebook, TikTok, whatever the ads are, we outsource those usually. Is that the best thing to do? I don't really think so, to be honest with you. I think there's a way to go about it. But unfortunately, most of us in our own practices don't know how to do these things. So we kind of write checks to people and we hope to give us a lot of patients. You're losing control of the thing that is the most valuable, and that is the patient. So it's always good to have a little bit more knowledge in these areas so that you can step in if you need to. Not to say you're getting duped and you need to step in, just so that you can step in because you have to hold all the reins of your entire practice. One of the things, you know, when you're doing ads, is like, how do we craft the offer? You know, are we trying to have them come in for a free service, a paid service, maybe a discounted service? You know, whatever it might happen to be, what is the messaging and what is the hook, so to speak, that's going to get a patient coming in off of an ad into your practice? This is somebody who doesn't know you, has never met you, you're a stranger on the street. And I'll tell you, when it comes to marketing to people who don't know you, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of effort. This is what it is. That is just the nature of the beast, because there is so much marketing noise out there. It's hard to put message straight through. So it's challenging to get brand new patients. You know, then we have like when the leads do come in from social media, they're great, but they're not strong. Even my leads off social media are not necessarily strong. It's commonly tire kickers, want to get a little information, find out about something, you know, and not your serious inquiries. What you have in your own practice is when you do get a lead coming in, how you handle those leads are very important. Whether they call in for a free consultation or a 20-minute phone call or free exam and x-rays, free teeth whitening, whatever the free thing that you're actually promoting, when that call comes in, it's a very weak lead. That might just no-show on you. So you have to know how to triage those leads. Your front desk has to know how to take that person who's coming in on a free service and potentially flip them into a paid evaluation. Okay, so this is complicated. There's a lot to this. There's a lot of effort involved in this to get a brand new person in the door. However, we put majority of our energy and effort in this area, and we put very little effort into taking our happy patients and make them your marketing team. Let's take a look at that. How do we increase our new patient volume without having to compete with the marketing noise of our competitors? Everybody's after the same new patient, wherever you happen to be. If people are doing advertisements, knocking on doors, talking to doctors, going to events, doing all these things, we're all competing for the same patient. Somebody who doesn't know you, someone who may not like you or trust you, and we have to get them to know, like, and trust us. So how do we compete with that? Well, what the answer is you add your patients to your marketing team. Add your patients to your marketing team. So now you go, well, I'm always uncomfortable doing something like that. Well, how do we go about that? What is it that's magic about that? You guys are like 80% there in your day-to-day activities. You're 80% there. It's like you're sitting right next to a gold vein, right? And you're like a little bit off from it. You're very close to it. You got all the ingredients there. You're incredibly close, but you're not quite on it. You may be a little bit closer to the goal. That's what I'd like to do in this call. So there's a few things, very simple things that I'm just going to list out that I think make a difference. And I know I could be talking to people like, yeah, we're doing that. We're totally doing that. Then where are the referrals? Now, every practice, whether you do something or nothing, is going to run anywhere between, say, 35, 38 to 50% of the patients you're treating today, you've treated in the past, or they were a referral from a patient. We're spending all our dollars trying to get brand new people, which is great, which we should spend smart money in that direction. But yet, if we just do a little math, and I talk about this a lot because it's like the gold mine. It's not even hidden in your practice. It's like right in front of your nose. They're coming in anyway. So it's a very powerful area of the practice. How do you get patients to refer friends and family? You build this rapport, and you know you do this every day. But it sometimes just gets bottled up in the delivery that we do. So the patient comes, we do our treatment, we let them move on their way. They're done, right? Patients come back. They come back to see you. They pick up where they left off. You know, they tell you things they've never told anybody else. You know, they know, like, and trust you greater than anyone because you spent quality time with them and you're a very good listener, right? Hopefully you're a very good listener. You're interested in the patient. You paid attention to the patient. Now, sometimes you'll have patients say, I've never told anyone this. You know, I've had this happen countless times. And sometimes it's like, you know, don't tell me, you know, look, you're batting 1,000. Maybe you shouldn't tell me. Maybe you should keep this one to yourself. But patients will let the cat out of the bag. They'll tell you things they've never told anybody else. And you think it's really odd, but why are they doing it? They're doing it because they trust you. They're doing it because they know you care. They're doing it because they like you. We build these bonds knowingly or unknowingly with our patients. And when they leave, they still talk about us. They talk about us at the dinner table. They say things like, my physical therapist told me that what I should be doing is blah, 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 blah. And when they're telling you their deepest, darkest secrets, it's like the hairdressers of healthcare. That's where I get that line. People say, oh, you know, I go to my hairdresser and I tell her anything, right? You just jabber, 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 right? Now, I don't have a whole lot of hair, so my conversations isn't that long, right? But you get the idea. Someone that's absolutely a freaking stranger, but yet the person is nice and friendly to you and they're seemingly very genuine. And all of a sudden you're barfing up things. I've seen some of the most competent physical therapists have patients stay away in droves. And I've had physical therapists that have mittens on their fingers and couldn't palpate motion between L5 and S1 if their life depended on it. But patients love them. Now, I think physical therapy is a science practice as an art. That art is communication. This last week, we had a bunch of guys in here doing a communication course on how to get orders executed within their office. I mean, they were all flipped out. We improve our ability to communicate with our patients, build the rapport with our patients, become their friend, so to speak, right? Not like let's go hang out or check out a movie together, but you become their friend. You genuinely care. This past week, I had my car into the shop. I had a problem. So I had a different service advisor than I've had for years, who I adore, right? Have this different service advisor who actually wouldn't communicate with me. He would just send me a text here and there, let me know the status of the car. I never had any rapport with him. I never related to him because I never ever met him because his relationship with me is a text. So when we have patients come and they discharge from physical therapy, I mean, we might have an autoresponder of some sort where there's a workflow where they're sent an email or a text or whatever, checking in on them and that kind of stuff. But nothing beats a voice. Nothing beats picking up the phone and having a conversation, right? So we look at marketing to get new patients, and getting brand new patients takes a lot more effort than getting patients who are happy to come back when care is needed or for a family member to you, right? So the patients will trust you throughout the care and not just on the first day. You have to make them very important. You have sometimes open spaces. There's the patient who's the life of the party. They capture a lot of attention from other staff, other patients. Sounds great. However, You're working on Mr. Sad Sack at the moment, right? So you're working on this guy at the table and he's got the personality of a limp dish rag, but he is your patient, right? So what do you do? How do you build a rapport with Mr. Limp Dish Rag when you've the live party two tables down? Well, simple. Don't engage with a guy two tables down unless the limp dish rag does exchange communication. But then they're brought into that conversation. That way you're making the patient in front of you very, very important. Right? These things are things you do to build rapport. You want to build rapport. You want to make it very tight because you're going to be asking them to send you business. You will feel really weird about asking for the business. You haven't given them the business, so to speak, right? So very important. Think about people that you refer to. You don't refer to anyone that you don't like. Even if they're super competent and you don't like them, you will not refer to them. You know, he's great, but he's a jerk. No. Unlikely, unless I'm having heart surgery. I really don't care. He can't have no personality, right? But generally speaking, we refer to people that we like. And to make yourself more likable to your patients requires your ability to be flexible based on the type of patient you got in front of you. You can have Eeyore and Winnie the Pooh, right? That work in front of you who can fall in love with you just as much as, you know, the class clown that's also in your practice as a patient. You have to work on that. It's important to work on that. When I hire a therapist or hire any staff member, personality has a lot to do with it. Outgoing, easy to talk to, interested, not so much interesting. They're interested in other people. They're interested in the patient. They're interested in listening. They pay attention. These are traits I look for in an employee, probably as much, if not more, than how strong your resume looks. How easy are they to communicate with? How do they engage? Okay. These things make you millions. Having the best resume just might not. Maybe that's the area of strong opinion, right? But it's based on a lot of experience and visiting a lot of clinics. So share that, think with that, noodle with that. And if you got a decent size tracks, kind of mentally look around, like who's the best at communicating? And then you find they have a higher arrival rate. They have happier patients. They have patients who come back more readily and a person who doesn't communicate well, regardless of skill. Check it out. It's true, right? So when you're doing all these things and you're constantly making them important throughout the care, there will be a moment. There should be a moment where the patient is actually feeling better. They're feeling better, like a lot better, right? So at that point, you want to ask them a simple question. You say something like, well, Sally, you know, our business is really based on referrals. We get referrals from doctors. We get referrals from our current and past patients. So do you mind if I ask you a question? Sure. Who do you know that needs our help? And then you just look at them and you wait. Just wait. They won't be long, 2 or 3 seconds, but you can just look at them. And then they say, gosh, I really don't know of anybody at the moment. And then you say, that's okay. But if you think of anyone or you run across somebody who's having trouble, let them know that we'll take a look at them for free if they drop your name and they call. Very simple. You don't get what you don't ask for. If you don't ask for referrals, you still get them 50% of the time. But if you don't ask for referrals, you don't get them. How do you earn them? Building rapport. All those things come together. Hope that makes a little sense. Makes it flow in your mind. Mentally, it's not a complicated thing. It's a simple thing. But like I said, we had a communications course this weekend and it was a group of clients came and we all had a blast, but it was really these finer skills. Sometimes the fine skill was listening, the ability to listen when someone's talking. You might think that, well, of course I do that. I don't know. I don't always. I'll have attention on what I want to say and I'm waiting for their mouth to stop moving so that I can say it. If you're like that because you're backed up against a deadline or another patient waiting or something like that, they'll believe it's not perceived because it is. People see it. Patients notice it. So that ability to listen is very important. And the ability to elevate the communication to where there's more engagement from the person that you're working with, very, very key. So who do you know that needs our help? And then you wait patiently for an answer. And then when they give the name, you say, well, how should we get them in? What do you think we should do? Then if they don't have a name, you go, well, if you know anyone, all they got to do is call the office and they just have to drop your name and that you recommended that they come in and see us and we will take a look at them for free. Now, if you go, oh, I don't like to give away free things. So if you have somebody calling in, if you have your front desk triage that well, you're going to end up with hopefully a decent percentage of these people being patients. And so if you can consider a patient's worth $1,000, right? They say a patient's worth $1,000. Don't you think it's worth 20 minutes of your time? And if you make it to where the receptionist knows how to triage them and just find out how intense the problem is, how long they've had it and say, you know, he's just going to take a look at you, right? He's not going to be treating you, but it sounds like you need treatment. What's your insurance, right? And we get the person in the door. But what we're doing is we're putting a megaphone on our patients and letting them know how they can help us. They bake you cookies at Christmas time, but what we want is them sending their friends, bringing baskets of cookies, running into the practice. So you get what you ask for. You don't get what you don't ask for. One of the things that you'll find, and you probably already know this, or maybe you even feel it in yourself, is it's uncomfortable. Sales is an uncomfortable thing, but sales is what makes the world go round. Like it or not, right? If you're trying to get a doctor to refer to you, that's a sales action, right? Oh, it's a marketing action. Okay. If that makes you feel better, right? But when you're actually trying to make commitment from someone, it's a sales action. Now, sales comes from the old English word sellan, S-E-L-L-A-N, which means to give, offer, or lend a hand. So sales got a bad name because it ripped people off, right? But how it started out is you'd help a guy build a barn. And in exchange, he's going to get you the first deer of the season. And then it was kind of awkward carrying a deer around trying to pay you back. So it got determined that maybe we can exchange this for gold pieces. Then it was silver pieces. Then it was dollars backed by gold. Then it was dollars backed by silver. Now it's dollars backed by another dollar, right? But what we're talking about is sales, and what we're doing is helping people. And you are as valuable in life as you can help other people, in my opinion. So you took this on as a profession. You're in the business of helping people. And I want business to be good, right? So your patients who love you are generally helpful people. You ever notice that the craziest patient is the introverted, look at me, take care of me, whine about my condition with me? The most engaging and outgoing patient is all about helping others, interested in other patients in your clinic. They're outwardly focused with their attention. We can guide that focus a little bit more, quite a bit more actually, through some very smart just communication, right? Building that rapport, right? So when you're looking at sales, you're actually helping people. You're helping them live a better life. I use this word sales a lot. It makes some people uncomfortable. It really shouldn't. It's just a word. It has no pain in it. Ripping people off does. If you're actually ripping people off, right, you're delivering care they don't need, well, you have no right to ask for referral, none at all. But if you are truly helping people live better lives, more pain-free lives, improve better function, and you see somebody walking down the street with a terrible limp, at minimum, you should walk up to them. You should walk up to them and give them a card. Yet most people can't even do that. So we have to get over ourselves. We're in the business of helping people. If we can put megaphones on patients, we can ask them to refer. I'm developing a whole other little secret that's kind of a gateway drug, possibly working with me, but it can help you get patients to refer friends and family. I'll share it one day. Keep having little added time things, but it's a whole cool system. I want to know the details, you can call me, right? But it's a way to put steroids onto your patients to get them to refer friends and family when they want to. But it's not going to like force them. It's not an MLM, right? Or affiliate program or anything like that. But how do we get patients who already know, like, and trust you, grease the wheels and make it easier for them to refer somebody into your practice? How to make your practice grow with the least amount of effort. Now, the effort is getting your team on board. Changing behaviors is probably the toughest thing you have to do. I don't want to do that. I just treat patients. I'm not going to ask them to refer somebody to me because that feels too salesy. That's true. To get this to actually become workable in your practice might require some drilling on your part. Sitting down, one being a happy patient, the other one asking for the referral. Who do you know that needs our help or whatever? Drilling that, handling objections and everything else. When you drill something, it brings about a skill. You don't develop a skill without doing drill. You don't have, you know, a mechanic working on your car who read the book, right? You have a mechanic who works on your car who started apprenticing and working on cars. You get good at asking for referrals by learning how to ask for them. Learning how to ask for them, knowing when to ask for them. And have that attitude that your happy patients want to refer people to you. It costs you nothing. You're already great therapists. You already have great rapport with your patients. You know, you already care about them at least intensely while they're in the clinic. And you may unfortunately forget about it when they're out. And that's a mistake. So staying connected when they're due and when they move on via occasional phone calls, when you have some downtime and there's no script, you just check how they're doing. Well, let's get your sorry butt in here, right? You have opportunities left and right to get the person to come back in the door and see you. I like to think I could try to make this really complicated, but it is actually really simple. The difficulties that you might have in this area is just using your words and being able to comfortably communicate these things. I know you have the right to ask for a referral because I know you deliver great care. I know that you're good at what you do. It's okay to ask for them to refer people to you. And it's not like if you ask me, who do I know that needs to go to physical therapy? I'd have to honestly tell you, I don't know anyone. But if that conversation at least took place, who do you know that needs my help, Sean? I go, well, gosh, I don't know anyone. Hey, if you know anyone that needs our help, could you just tell them to come to see us? Yeah, sure. Might fall on deaf ears, but you've given me order, so to speak. You've given me a request, so to speak, to support you. And people do. Because you look around, nearly 50% of what you're treating now, you've seen before. So, although not deep and very glossy on the surface, I will say, we are the hairdressers of healthcare because people tell us anything. People tell us everything. Patients tell us everything, just like your best friends tell you everything. And yet they hardly know you because quality of that communication that you put in with the patient while they're in the clinic makes you one of their dearest, whether you knew it or not. So it's totally safe to ask them to send friend family to you and make a very simple way for them to do it. And that's what I put together. Well, y'all know how to reach out to me. You just click on my name. And you can send me a message or whatever. I know.
If you like what you heard today, consider our coaching program. Go to ptpracticesuccess.com and click on the link at the top of the page.